and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Wipro Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dipak Bohra, Corporate Treasurer and Head of Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Yashashri. Warm welcome to our Quarter 4 Financial Year 25 earnings call. We will begin the call with the business highlights and overview by Srinivas Pallia, our Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director, followed by updates on financial overview by our CFO, Aparna Iyer. We also have our CHRO, Saurabh Govil, on this call. Afterwards, the operator will open the bridge for Q&A with our management team. Before Srini starts, let me draw your kind attention to the fact that during the call, we may make certain forward-looking statements within the meaning of Private Securities Litigation Reform Act 1995. These statements are based on management's current expectations and are associated with uncertainties and risks, which may cause the actual results to differ materially from those expected. The uncertainties and risk factors are explained in our detailed filing with the SEC. Wipro does not undertake any obligation to update the forward-looking statements to reflect events and circumstances after the date of filing. The conference call will be archived, and a transcript will be available on our website. With that, I would like to turn over the call to Srini.
Thanks, Dipak. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. It's hard to believe that it's already been a year since I took over as CEO. When I look back at these 12 months, I can see clear progress across many areas. We won two mega deals this year. It's a strong sign that our large deal engine is working and continues to expand. Our clients have responded well to our consulting-led, AI-powered industry and cross-industry solutions. This is reflected in the strong growth in top accounts and large deal bookings in FY25. We have continued to invest in our people, skilling them for the new AI wave. Our execution rigor with speed has been acknowledged by clients, and that's reflected in the clear improvement in our client satisfaction scores. And we have done all of this while strengthening our margins. It's a meaningful achievement in the context of such ongoing change. The global industry environment remained uncertain for most of the year, and the recent tariff announcements have only added to that. I've been speaking to clients across sectors to understand how things are playing out on the ground. Even though the underlying demand for tech reinvention remains strong, clients are approaching it more cautiously. In fact, they are focused on cost, speed, and AI-led efficiency, and that's exactly where we are leaning in. We see this as an opportunity to move with purpose, make smart bets, and stay committed to our five strategic priorities. Driving consistent, profitable growth remains a clear priority for us, and we are focused on making that happen. With that, let's look at our Quarter 4 and FY 2024-25 performance. All the growth numbers I share will be in constant currency. Our IT services revenue for Quarter 4 was $2.6 billion, reflecting a sequential decline of 0.8% and 1.2% on a year-on-year basis. The order booking for Quarter 4 was at $4.0 billion, which is a growth of 13.4% sequentially and 10.5% on a year-on-year basis. Our operating margins came in at 17.5%, which is flat sequentially and 110 basis point expansion on year-on-year basis. For the full year, IT services revenues were $10.51 billion, reflecting year-on-year degrowth of 2.3%. Our operating margin was at 17.1%, an expansion of almost 1% as compared to FY24. Now to our strategic market unit performance. Americas 1 grew 0.2% sequentially and 6% on a year-on-year basis. Americas 2 degrew 1% sequentially and 1.8% on a year-on-year basis. Europe degrew 2.5% sequentially and 6.9% on a year-on-year basis. APMEA grew 1% sequentially and degrew 4.9% on a year-on-year basis. Moving on to our industry sector performance, BFSI degrew 0.5% sequentially and grew 0.8% year-on-year. Healthcare degrew 3.1% sequentially and grew 0.1% year-on-year. Consumer degrew 1.3% sequentially and was flat year-on-year. Technology and communication degrew 0.9% sequentially and 1.1% year-on-year. Energy, manufacturing and resources grew 1.1% sequentially and degrew 7% year-on-year. Capco continues to perform well, growing 6.5% sequentially and 11.5% on a year-on-year basis. Let me now provide an update on our 5 strategic priorities. As I mentioned earlier, we have continued to see strong momentum in large deals. In quarter 4, we closed 17 large deals with a total value of $1.8 billion across markets and sectors. For the full year, we closed 63 large deals for a total value of $5.4 billion, which is a year-on-year growth of 17.5%. Now, let me highlight 2 recent wins. A global technology leader has chosen us for a major 5-year transformation program. We will deliver AI-powered end-to-end IT services, completely reshaping the employee experience for 200,000 users across 200 countries. Our solution involves proactive support, intelligent self-service, and personalized digital interaction. My second example is our recent partnership with a leading global food distributor. We are taking over their entire IT infrastructure and corporate application, which includes HR, finance, and legal systems. We are leveraging AI solutions, and we will drive automation and simplify user interactions. For our client, this will result in higher efficiency, lower costs, and better user experience. As we all know, AI has been part of deal conversations for a while. But this year, it's become central to almost every opportunity, big or small, helping drive productivity and efficiency. This reflects a broader shift we are seeing across the board. Let me now move on to large accounts. We continue to focus on our large accounts in our core markets and priority sectors. In quarter 4, our top 5 and top 10 accounts grew 0.3% and 1.1% respectively on a sequential basis. Let me also share an example that shows our momentum in strategic accounts. In quarter four, a leading Indian private bank expanded our strategic partnership as part of a business-focused digital transformation. We will provide the bank AI-powered solutions to strengthen compliance management and addressing critical need for regulatory compliance, in addition to enhancing the overall experience for the bank. Now, this will also help the bank boost operational efficiency and realize its growth ambition across various functions. We continue to create impact for clients through our consulting-led AI-powered industry and cross-industry solutions. This was our third strategic priorities we had called out. In this context, let me talk about a recent win in the aviation sector. A well-known Pacific Airlines chose us to modernize its crew management and operation systems in quarter four. In fact, we were selected for our proven ability to future-proof client IT platform with AI. We will deploy our own TOPS platform to manage end-to-end crew operations, providing a unified, scalable solution that enhances experience and drives sustained operational efficiencies. Alongside all of this, we have put even more focus on client centricity and starting to show results. Our latest third-party annual customer satisfaction survey clearly shows improvement in overall satisfaction scores and NPS. In fact, I would like to thank our teams who have made this possible. As you are aware, we have also realigned our global business lines effective April 1st to better meet our customers' needs. This change will help us deliver stronger business outcomes for our clients. Finally, and just as important, supporting and growing our global talent has been a top priority all year. You might remember that last quarter, I spoke about our focus on leadership development and how we are building future-ready leaders through our Wipro Leadership Institute. In fact, we have moved our top performers into key client-facing roles to ensure continuity and stability. And we have also launched a sponsorship program to help them succeed. Now, a note on guidance before I wrap up. Given the uncertainty in the environment, we expect clients to take a more measured approach going forward, especially on large transformation programs and discretionary spending. With this in mind, and based on our current visibility, we are guiding for a sequential growth of -3.5% to -1.5% in constant currency terms. Let me now turn it over to Aparna for a detailed overview of our financials. Thank you. Aparna, over to you.
Thank you, Srini. Good evening and good morning, everybody. Let me share a quick update on our financial performance for the quarter ended 31st March 2025 before we move after that, we'll take questions. Our IT services revenue for Q4 sequentially declined by 0.8% in constant currency terms. This is within our guided range. For FY25, our IT services revenue declined by 2.3% in constant currency terms. Our rigorous focus on operational improvement has ensured that the margins have steadily improved over the last few quarters. For Q4, Operating margins at 17.5% expanded by 1.1% year-on-year. This brings our FY25 operating margin expansion to 0.9%. As we enter FY26, we are faced with headwinds on account of an uncertain macroeconomic environment that is putting a downward pressure on our revenues. Our endeavor would be to maintain these margins in a narrow band in the coming quarters. Our net income grew 6% quarter-on-quarter in Q4 and 19% for the full year. Our EPS for the full year was at INR 12.6, a growth of 20% year-on-year. We finished the financial year with a free cash flow as a percentage of net income at 118%, which takes our gross cash, including investments, to $6.4 billion. In Q4, our other income grew by 45% sequentially, and our accounting yield for the average investments held in India was at 7.9%. Our ETR was at 24.3% for Q4 25, against 26% in Q4 24. Our hedges continue to be in line with our policy. We had about $2.4 billion of forex derivative contracts as hedges at the end of Q4 25. In terms of guidance, to reiterate what was stated by Srini, we expect the revenues from our IT services business segment to be in the range of $2.505 billion to $2.557 billion. This translates to a sequential guidance of -3.5% to -1.5% in constant currency terms. With that, I'll turn this over back to the operator for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec. Please go ahead. Mr. Padmanabhan, please check if you...
Yeah, hello. Hi. Hi. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Srini, just wanted your thoughts on which verticals are you seeing the highest impact at this point in time?
Sorry, Nitin, I was speaking on mute. Hi, Nitin. If you look at sector-wise view, the way the economic environment has become uncertain on the back of tariff increases, we are seeing this impact not just in the US, of course, but also in the Euro. Similarly, we are also seeing across sectors, directly or indirectly, these impacts. But some sectors have been impacted more, like consumer, manufacturing, within manufacturing, specifically automotive and industrial. And we are seeing indirect impact on most of the sectors, if you will. For us, the clients in these, all the industries are taking a lot more cautious approach at this point in time. And they are also doing a scenario planning because they would like to see when this whole thing will settle down before they start making more business decisions. And that's how currently it's playing out in this.
Okay. So how are you seeing BFSI broadly in the currently in terms of how they are thinking about things, both US and Europe?
So if you look at our results, we have been seeing good traction in BFSI, specifically in the US and in APMEA. And also our Capco business, both in terms of revenue and order book. I think what we faced is headwinds in Europe in the BFSI sector. But again, the good news is that we have a good pipeline and there is deal momentum. Now, there are, obviously, if you look at the kind of deals that we are getting, right, one, we are definitely looking at apps and IT infrastructure modernization. There are opportunities around business, BPS, which is business process services and cybersecurity. And we are also looking at the opportunities in consulting, which is a reflection of our Capco business. Also, in some of our solutions, where is asset and wealth management, I think this is a good time. The customers are relooking at how they can leverage AI-powered solutions. We're also looking at insurance platform digitization, also payments, right, which is all around our AI-infused industry solutions. And we are seeing traction around that. What we are doing clearly is that we want to prioritize how Wipro and Capco can come together, bring in more synergies, with Capco being the tip of the spear and Wipro actually executing end-to-end. And I think this is also helping us as we move forward, specifically on the BFSI sector.
Right. So you're not seeing any specific weakness in the near to medium term here? They continue to spend? You're not seeing any holdback of spending from a BFSI perspective?
So the two perspectives, Nitin. One is, like I said, the pipeline is strong, but the clients are cautious about the spend, especially BFSI, which is discretionary, right? So the early signs are they are waiting and watching. Some of the decisions have slowed down, if you will. In case, luck would have it, if the uncertainty comes down in the next few weeks, we are hoping the clients will start taking decisions on these project opportunities, because that's the need of the hour for them.
Sure, perfect. This is very helpful. I'll get back in the queue. Thanks, Sita.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nitin.
We'll take our next question from the line of Abhishek Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Srini, first of all, congratulations on good deal wins in a difficult environment. My question is on deal to revenue conversion. If we look at our book-to-bill over the last 2 years, it has been consistently, at least on an LTM basis, above 1.3 times. But it has not really translated into revenue growth. And if we add to that, better performance in Capco, where the conversion would be even better. Looks like X of Capco, the conversion is quite soft. So I just wanted to understand what exactly has driven this poor conversion so far. Is it, cancellations? Is it lower ATV growth because of longer tenure? And which of these two you think going forward might change for us to, build some sort of growth given improved business?
So, Abhishek, as you know, the booking to revenues is very difficult to correlate them within quarters, because the timing differs from deal to deal. For example, the large deal that we have secured in Q4 that we announced will take some time for it to ramp up. There is a schedule that's signed off with the client and there's work to be done before for us to be able to start that. So there will be some timing gap that will always be there in case of some of these large deal wins that we've had. You're right, consistently we've won more, and that is adding to revenue, even with, let's say, a deferred timing. What we are ultimately reflected in the, what is gets reflected in the revenue is also some of the ramp downs that happen as a result of lower discretionary spends and project spend going down, right? So we need to win more. We need to fill that bucket a lot more for us, for it to start reflecting in net revenue growth. And that's how I would characterize it. We're happy with the way the engine has started to crank. With the same momentum that persists on large deals, if the medium and small size deals also come back into the play, I think you will see a pickup in revenue growth.
Sure. Maybe a quick follow-up there. Do you think those ramp downs, which are client specific, are now largely behind us, and therefore it is just a matter of timing before these deals start to reflect in revenues?
Abhishek, let me give you a commentary on what we saw. If you look at it, we started quarter four on a positive note. But gradually during the quarter, the sentiments turned negative. I think this is because of, tariff hike and anticipation around that. And it did have a cascading impact on this. Now, to me, this has definitely impacted our revenue growth momentum across sectors and markets. One example I can tell you is we were doing a large SAP program, which was very critical for the client. And this was in the consumer sector. And when the client heard about the tariff situation, they were bang in the middle of that. And they put the whole program on pause, not because they don't want to do the program, but they wanted to understand, get the certainties of the tariff situation. So that's one good example I can give where the program has been put on hold. Also, in Europe, some of the clients have slowed down transformation projects. It's not that they have paused it, but they said, we can relook at the timelines at this point in time. Also, we did see several instances of volume drop in some of our existing accounts, and maybe because, some of them are because of the delay in initiating the projects, and some also there was an impact of ramp downs. The way I see it is that this is transitional phase. And hopefully, and obviously I can't predict how the tariff situation, the macroeconomic will turn out, but this will gradually stabilize. I think as an organization, what we are doing is we are working with the clients and understanding the scenario planning and trying to actually pivot to the way they are looking at how the business is coming next. And I think that's most important for each and every employee of Wipro, sense and respond to the client situation.
Great, that's helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Manik Taneja from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Shini, basically just wanted to pick your brains on two things. Number one, we continue to see pressure in Europe through the course of last several quarters. Would be great to get your perspective as to what's driving that. And the second related question to that essentially is that similarly on a segmental margin standpoint also as well, while Capco has recovered, we've seen no improvement in terms of the segmental margins for the European geography. If you could talk about what's dragging the margins here. Thank you.
Sure. I think the Europe question, maybe I'll leave the margin situation to Aparna, Manik. Now, let me talk about this, right? I think your observation is right. If you look at our revenues for last year, on a full year basis, Americas has actually grown 1.2%. And it is Europe which has been, shown a degrowth. In fact, APMEA had degrowth, but in quarter four, they actually turned, sequentially positive. Now, the situation at Europe, we have a new leadership team. Second, we have a very strong pipeline of deals. Three, we just won a large deal, Phoenix deal, which you are aware of. And that deal will start kicking off in a few months from now as per the contract term. Net-net, if you stay focused on the deals that we have on the table, which I think, the entire European leadership team is currently focused on, we should be able to look at a positive momentum in Euro in the next coming quarters.
Manu, can you repeat your question on margins?
So, Aparna, my question on margins was that when during second half of FY23, we started to face some pressure in Capco, we blamed some of the margin decline that we saw in the European geography also because of the drag from Capco. Through the course of recent quarters, Capco has been doing quite well, but there has been no recovery in segmental margins for Europe. So if you could dwell into what's causing that. And the last one, if I may just clarify, on the executive board refresh, if you could talk about where are we in that journey? Are we actually done with most of the organizational changes?
Your question is not very clear. I think the question that you asked on margins was that Capco may have been a drag on Europe margins and therefore how are they rebounding. In some sense, I think Capco has been doing well from the standpoint of its growth and bookings, and there has been a lift off in the margins as well. Overall, they are doing much better, even from an operating margin performance. At least in Q4, they've done very, very solid performance. So in that context, yes, our Europe margins have also been impacted by some of the other ramp downs that we've seen and the non-Capco part of the business.
Sure. And in any sense on when do we start to see some of these pressures recede?
In Europe, you will note that we have actually won a very large deal, and that should start ramping up through the course of the year, and in especially towards the second half. And, you know, therefore, you will see a bounce back then. And we also have a solid pipeline that we think we can close between now and September, and that should also then add.
Sure.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Taneja?
Yeah, thank you. I'll get back to you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Vibhor Singhal from Nuvama Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So two questions from my side. Shini, on the overall macro weakness that you have spoken about, so can you give a bit of color as to, I'm sorry, I was disconnected for a parting of the call, but highlight that was some part of the weakness also responsible for the slightly lower growth that we reported in this quarter? And given that we are exiting FY25 on a negative, on a decline, and we would be entering FY26 also on a negative note, is there a possibility that we would be able to report a positive growth in FY26, or FY26 also is likely to be the year of top revenue decline, just like FY25 was? And then I have a follow-up for Aparna.
Vibhor, first and foremost, as you know, we don't give a full year guidance. Having said that, the recent developments, especially the macroeconomic situation, the tariff situation, we are, like I said, keeping a very close watch on how the situation is evolving and how our clients are responding to that or reacting to that. At this stage, our quarter one guidance represents best visibility we have. And, definitely, we will share all the updates coming quarters as we get clarity on the situation. Also, if you look at what Aparna said on the Phoenix deal we announced in quarter four, this is actually expected to ramp up starting H2, and definitely that will help uplift our revenues.
Got it. And the initial part of the question was there any weakness also felt in this quarter also, because of which we came towards close to the lower end of the guidance for Q4?
Vibhor, if you look at in the last few weeks, right, and you've seen the economic environment, you've seen many of the analysts and how they've been forecasting from January to February to March, there's a drastic change in terms of how the industry has been looked at, right? And, to me, this impact of tariffs obviously is not just US, but also in Europe, right? And again, it's not just in few sectors, but across sectors. The only difference is certain sectors are seeing direct impact, certain sectors are seeing indirect impact. So the ones I called out are consumer, manufacturing, especially automotive and industrial. We have seen a direct impact of the customer. And obviously, they are looking at their cash position. They are looking at how to reduce the cost. And they are also looking at significant scenario planning, because they have the manufacturing plants globally. And in the context of tariffs, and these products move, components move from country to country and so on and so forth. So they are holding back on any further investment. And I think, that's what we are seeing from our side as well.
Got it. Sure. No, thank you so much for answering the questions. Just one follow-up for Aparna. So Aparna, I think margins have remained quite resilient through the year. For the next year and going forward, that you're looking at, you mentioned that we are expecting margins to remain in a narrow band. In terms of, let's say, the growth not being strong in FY26, given the kind of headwinds that we are seeing on a macro level, do you see a risk to the margins from current levels for an overall year? Conversely, if growth were to return, especially in the discretionary spend in the second half, we also have the seasonality. I'm so sorry for that. Aparna, just a question on the margins. As you mentioned, the margins will remain in a very narrow range from current levels. Just wanted to check if, let's say, the growth in FY26 is weak and if it turns on the decline front, then do you think the margins could be under pressure because of that as well? Conversely, if discretionary spends were to pick up, let's say, two quarters down the line in H2, we also have the seasonality ramping up as well for us. Would that mean that we could basically have a good jump up in the margins and possibly some tailwinds which could take it to the higher level? What are those levels that you're looking at?
Vibhor, you know, very difficult to say which way the revenues are gonna go. I think what I heard is, you know, if the revenue environment continues to be bad, will we continue to hold margins, right? Now, the reality is there will be pressure on margins as we start Q1. There are two headwinds. One, of course, of a weak revenue environment. Two, that of a lot of deals that we've spoken about, which are a part of our pipeline, are actually cost takeout and vendor consolidation deals, which inherently come with a pricing pressure and therefore, you know, and are also very competitively fought. We will prioritize growth. We will prioritize the fact that we would like to invest in our clients, and therefore that will become priority, and therefore these two are headwinds. Like I said, our endeavor would be to keep the margins in a narrow band. It is a huge task given the kind of guidance we have given for Q1, but all hands on the deck. What can be the levers? The levers will go back to everything that we have done up until so far to get to 17.5%, which will include making sure that our bench costs are managed tightly, making sure we are driving higher productivity in our fixed price programs, making sure we continue to optimize, you know, and cut down on some of the fixed spends that we have, you know, as the business comes down. Those are things that we've done without cutting into the muscle, without cutting into S&M. That's been our, you know, journey so far. We will only have to accelerate it. You know, we don't guide for margins. The endeavor is gonna be to keep it at least in narrow band in the coming quarters, and then from there we will see.
Got it. Got it. Thank you so much for taking my question, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Kumar Rakesh from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. Thank you for taking my question. My first question, for a minute, if I assume that I didn't know about the macroeconomic issues and would have looked at the numbers that you have reported just as on, your headcount on a sequential basis has increased quarter-on-quarter after a couple of quarters of decline. Your total bookings and large deal wins are pretty strong in the quarter, and Capco, which is quite discretionary focused, reported pretty solid growth in the quarter. I would have expected that the next quarter would see a decent growth. In contrast to that, the guidance that you have given at the midpoint implies that you would see one of the lowest growth in outside of COVID period, probably. What is incrementally that you're looking at, which is giving you this, which is essentially making your guidance to be that weak? Are there specific ramp downs that you're looking at? There are volume declines that you are building into that assumption. If you can give some more granular details, essentially, what specifically is pulling down this guidance?
Well, two aspects. I will go first and then Srini, you can add. Clearly, we've spoken about how there is some uncertainty in the macroeconomic environment that's playing out. You know, while Capco has printed strong numbers for Q4, you know, there is, and in some sense, you know, they also have witnessed gains in market share, et cetera, right? They put on a solid performance. The macroeconomic environment, you know, will impact other sectors that we spoke about, including consumer, manufacturing, where we are seeing some softness. The other part of, from a market unit standpoint, for us, Europe, the weakness in Europe is likely to continue into Q1. And hopefully, you know, from there we look at how to build on the momentum on the back of some of this large deal wins that we've had both in Q4 and in Q1, Rakesh.
So Rakesh, you know, maybe if I could add a few more points here. Based on my client conversations, right, a few things I'm noticing. One is large transformation projects, programs, you know, one of them I talked about, are getting paused or being delayed or, you know, kind of changing the schedules. Second, you know, while the clients have the budgets, they want to review it post the you know, certainty or at least understand where the situation will end up. And, you know, one of the things that I constantly see, especially in the industries that have direct influence, there are cost pressures. And, you know, definitely, I think, you know, the demand for tech-driven, you know, efficiencies and cost will continue. And we are, you know, that's the kind of pipeline that we are seeing, which is also, you know, how do you help the client, you know, bring in more efficiency, automation, and of course, GenAI. And the point that Aparna made in the previous question is around, you know, vendor consolidation, tail vendor consolidation, so on and so forth. But the point, the good news is that, you know, right now the pipeline is strong. I think that's good news. And this is, again, you know, evenly distributed both in terms of large deals and also small deals. And I can tell you, while Europe has gone soft, has been soft for us, I see a good pipeline there across sectors. So, you know, I think the focus for us has to be, you know, closing those deals quickly, which could translate to revenue, hopefully, the next few quarters, if you will. But net-net, you know, the situation is, you know, compared to COVID, this situation is very different. The situation is not that, you know, the client businesses are going to stop. The situation here is how the tariffs will impact the customer's business in the context of the cost, price, and consumer demand. I think that's what they're trying to wait and watch and see before they take decisions.
Thanks for that, Aparna, Ashwini. My second question was, if I step back and take a little longer-term view on the full-year performance and the recent history. So this is the second year in which we are seeing the revenue decline. And looking at where we would be exiting this year, the first quarter, even if for the rest of the year you grow, you most likely will see a revenue decline in FY26 as well. So there is a high likelihood that we would end up with 3 years of revenue decline. The first quarter revenue would be back to where it was, the quarterly revenue back where it was 4 years back. So while I'm aware of the five priority areas, the five focused areas that you're working on, and we have started seeing progress on those areas, what do you think is the problem that essentially is ailing that we are consistently underperforming and likely to continue to underperform for the next few quarters?
So I think it's a good question. I can tell you that it was obviously for us, FY25 was a mixed year, and we also made progress on a few fronts. But if you double click on the revenues, while we have degrown 2.3% in FY25, I'll definitely call out Americas, which contributes close to 63% of our revenue. That piece of the business has grown 1.2% in FY25. The second piece of the business, which is APMEA, it has actually degrown 9%, but the region has recovered in the second half of the year and, you know, delivered a growth of 1% in quarter four sequentially. Well, Europe, like called out, has been a challenge for us. It has degrown 7% year on year and 2.5% sequentially in quarter four. Our focus has been to stabilize and bring this region back to growth trajectory. To this end, we had new leadership. The leadership has come together, and we are seeing it, you know, as far as the traction on the ground is concerned. The good example is Phoenix deal that we have closed, which will help us get some momentum on the revenue side, if not next quarter, second half of the year, like I said. And what is the important thing that I want to call out is our deal pipeline in Europe. And that's very encouraging to me. And we have a good opportunity for us to stabilize and also bring growth back in Europe. So essentially, the problem statement is Europe and how Europe will turn around, which will have an overall impact on Wipro's performance.
Great. Thanks a lot, Shani, for that.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Gaurav Rateria from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. I have a couple of them. Just first question for Srini. What exactly your guidance assumes with respect to normalization of the environment? Is it that the environment remains tough throughout the quarter is what your assumption is, or you expect that to normalize over the coming weeks and some a bit of that reflects in improving growth over the coming months? May not be start of the quarter, but back half of the quarter.
Gaurav, I'm talking to someone who is on a daily basis looking at what's happening in the macro environment. Maybe I should ask you offline this particular question. But clearly, in the context of the guidance we are given for quarter one, right, we have factored in assumptions for the both at the lower end and upper end of the guidance. So our guidance for quarter one that we are given is based on the best visibility, both in terms of revenue and what we have seen currently, right? However, the upper end of the guidance is if we see the improvement in the demand situation from where we are today. So the lower end of the guidance will obviously have to factor in a worsening of the demand environment. So we are somewhere in between that, Gaurav. I don't have a crystal ball to say when this whole uncertainty will become certain. And, all of you have how you are forecasted from Jan to Feb to March. It's never happened before. Even during the COVID crisis, we did not see the analyst coming back and changing the forecast so rapidly in 3 months and few weeks. So I'm only hoping for the best case scenario, which will impact our higher end of the guidance, worst case scenario, which will be at the lower end of the guidance. That's the best way I can answer your question, Gaurav.
Sure, Sri. Thank you so much for that transparency and explanation. My second question is on the TCV that you report, the total TCV minus TCV. If you look at that number on a trailing 12 months, it's down by around, in like 13-14% YOY. Is this the reason why the conversion of order book into revenue gets impacted? Because these deals convert into revenue much faster than your larger deals. Of course, you're doing great in the large deals, but that takes time to convert into revenue. But this immediately flows into and correlate that this part of the business is driving a weaker conversion ratio?
If you look at our overall booking, we closed the full year with $14.3 billion of booking. And in some sense, there is a down year on year, Gaurav. But if you look at our large deals, which is something that we've been categorically wanting to improve, has gone up. So you're right that, the deals that are there in the smaller and medium size bucket are, not growing fast enough, and our bookings are largely coming through the large deals. So to that extent, now whether that has direct correlation with, do larger deals take longer to convert vis-a-vis do smaller deals, will they come into the conversion much faster? That's just conjecture. I don't think there is a analysis or there is a causal effect to that extent. But yes, if that also starts to grow, it will have an impact on our overall revenue growth.
Got it. Last question for you, Aparna. Just trying to understand that when revenues actually decline, it has an impact on the utilization rate, which could be a possibility in 1Q. But let's say if you were to maintain margins in a narrow band, what would be the underlying assumption for utilization rate? Should it be fair to believe that utilization has to be around 87-88% in the current to hold on to margins in a narrow band?
Gaurav, there are several levers at play, and utilization is one of them. Certainly, utilization needs to improve or at least sustain, even though in a weaker revenue environment, that's what we will be focused on. There are other levers at play that I spoke about, fixed price productivity, further cuts in our G&A, overhead rationalization, improvement in other programs that we are driving from a standpoint of how we're looking at profitability. So there are many levers at play, with utilization being one of them, Gaurav.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Surendra Goyal from Citi. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Srini, just one question. Your sales and marketing spend in USD terms is down high single digit YOY in FY25 at a time when you continue to lose market share versus peers. So do you think anything needs to be done differently here, or do you think you are doing enough, investing enough for this to be able to drive the catch up with peers on growth rates? Thank you.
I think, Surendra, you've got to look at our S&M even year on year. I think that's a good reflection. Quarter on quarter, there could be certain noises that could impact. And I must tell you that from an employee compensation standpoint, there is no change in the S&M, right? There, a lot of what we're doing is rationalization of, maybe more G&A kind of roles, right? And there again, we're looking only at, those roles that are by design need to operate from India, and therefore, if they're not client-facing and in high-cost geographies, we've cut them down. So you can be rest assured that we're not cutting down on S&M, especially from a sales standpoint. In fact, we are going ahead and investing in our people, in the cross-industry and industry solutions, and in, AI. Srini, you want
to
add?
Yeah, sure. So just to add, Surendra, to what Aparna said, first and foremost, right, we continue to invest in sales and marketing and the strategic areas that we talked about, whether it's consulting, whether it's AI-powered investments around innovation, and so on and so forth. So we are investing for growth. So I want to be very clear on that aspect of it. However, if we have created design principles where if the roles are not client-facing, not roles that can be done from homes, it doesn't make us necessary sense for them to be sitting there. So we are moving such roles to low cost. Either it could be Europe, Latin America, or India, depending on where it is coming from. So that's what would have reflected, Surendra. But let me be very clear. If we have to be consulting-led, AI-powered Wipro for the industry segments where we are going to prioritize on, we're going to go full throttle on growth in those segments and investments, sorry.
Understand. So you think you are doing enough. So I get the point. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Ankur Rudra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. And thanks for the guidance as well. Can you elaborate a bit on the extent of the ramp downs, cancellations, delays you mentioned that has happened only in the last 2 weeks since the tariffs came out? How much of this is, fresh? And is that what you're building into both ends of your guidance now?
Our guidance bakes in the current visibility that we have, Ankur, at the moment. It certainly reflects the macroeconomic environment and the visibility that we have in terms of, the trends that our clients will make with us. So in some sense, it factors, like Srini said, those uncertainties as well. And as you know, we guide in a range, and that gives you a good perspective of what we're looking at for the quarter.
Right. So, I mean, I just try to dig in a bit deeper to your previous answer where you spoke about if macro improves at the upper end, if macro does not, is the lower end. I was wondering how much of that has changed in the last 2 weeks.
So, Ankur, from our perspective, I think, you know, after the pause for 90 days on the tariffs, I think there's a little bit of, stability that we have seen, and that's, I think, reflecting on the last 2 weeks that you're talking about it, Ankur. But, you know, we don't know what we don't know at this point in time, how this will play out, especially with China on the tariff side. So it's a little difficult to predict, but again, just to repeat what I said and again what Aparna said, right, based on the best visibility in terms of revenues that we have, we are given the upper end of the guidance, assuming the demand situation from where it is today will, you know, will stabilize and improve, and the lower end, if it, you know, worsens further.
Okay, understood. Just talking a bit about AI, can you talk a bit about how AI-related productivity passbacks or deflation might be playing into your contract renewals? And, you know, if you are proactively infusing AI gains into your existing deals, does that put existing TCV numbers at risk?
So, at this point in time, Ankur, you know, I'm not seeing any significant impact either on revenues or margins, right? What we are doing is whatever benefits of GenAI that are applicable to our customers, right? In many of the cases, you know, some of the times, you know, the customers' budgets are getting freed up. So we are actually using GenAI and also getting some incremental work done for the same customer. And, you know, that could also offset some of the revenue drops you're talking about. But what is important to call out is while we continue to infuse GenAI into managed services deals and also the managed services opportunities that currently exist with our existing clients, we're also trying, you know, leveraging GenAI to actually look at a completely new revenue stream. And that's for us part of the, you know, changing the game, leveraging GenAI. So it's not just operating better or developing better for the clients of GenAI, but also changing the game for them. And that's an exciting piece, if you ask me. And, you know, I can just, for example, we just announced a partnership with NVIDIA on Sovereign AI, right? We did this collaborating with them, and we had announced Siam.ai in Thailand. And this is something, you know, which is, you know, very new, which has a huge impact on tourism industry, starting in Thailand, and, you know, it could get replicated across countries. So that's one good example I can talk about. Another example, Ankur, you know, just leveraging GenAI, one of the large cities in Europe, we are actually doing, as part of the smarter city, we are doing predictive maintenance of the critical infrastructure, right? You know, that's a very interesting, very high-end kind of work. In fact, we got this, AI agents actually, you know, the physical agents I'm talking about, you know, going and looking at aging of the pipe, you know, the pipes that are there, ground situations and so on and so forth. Everything is AI-based, and this is AI-based problem detection, right? And also the end benefit for the city is preventive maintenance of the water pipelines, for example. So this is also going to help the city in terms of, you know, reducing the manual inspection and, of course, the overall maintenance cost. So these are the great examples, Ankur, that, you know, I'm seeing where GenAI can give us new opportunities for growth.
Yes, thank you.
Just last question. If I can just squeeze in one last question. You had mentioned success in your large accounts. If I look at the client metrics for the last several quarters, and especially this quarter, it's across sizes, whether it's $100 million down to $10 million, there's been an element of softness. Could you clarify how much of this is from FX versus client losses or cuts in discretionary spending?
Yeah, you know, if you look at the number of $50 million clients that we have, they broadly remain the same. We've mentioned that our top clients, our top five, our top 10, they're all growing. In fact, even in Q4 of 25 on a year-on-year constant currency basis, all three have grown. You know, the the number of clients, active clients that we are seeing going down is just a reflection of the overall revenue environment and the lower discretionary spend.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Deepak Bohra for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining the call. In case we could not take any questions due to time constraints, please feel free to reach out to Investor Relations team. Have a nice evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you, members of the management team. On behalf of Wipro Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.